This episode is sponsored by Nobody. Please consider crowdfunding this production through Cash App, PayPal, or Venmo at Justin C. Gleason. Your offering is not just a donation, it's sowing seed. May every giver reap a spiritual harvest from what they have sown into this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Hello, loyal listeners. So good to be back here on the podcast with you again. I want to continue this, train of thought to get your mind, train your mind to have thoughts about heaven. I think it's important, especially in the day and time that we are in, to remind ourselves of our eternity. Once you get saved, one of the reasons you should be saved, one of the reasons you should desire to be saved is to make things better for yourself for all eternity. You have an open invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ himself to have eternal life if you will follow him and obey him, serve him. If you'll stay right with him in this life, you'll get to stay right with him for all eternity. Jesus taught that his kingdom was not of this world. And there's just been a statement, they old-time preachers that I love said it for decades, that you can be so heavenly minded you're no earthly good. I don't know, that statement just never sat well with me. Now, if it made you run to the altar, you know, God bless you. I'm glad it stirred you up. If your pastor preaches that this Sunday, I want you to jump and shout and get with him. But for me, I don't know. Good news does not come from this world. Good news comes from heaven. And Jesus Christ preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I think the only good this world can see is what comes from heaven. The only hope that this world has is what comes from heaven. And I don't know, you're so heavenly minded, you're so earthly good. I get that. It's going after the holier than thou people. The people that have no intention at all in sharing what they have with others, in explaining the goodness of God to others. They're only just focused on just me and Jesus. I get that. We need to be spreading this word. We need to be performing signs, wonders, and miracles for this world. We need to be doing all of those things, but I think our minds need to be on heaven. Matter of fact, I think the more closer you are to heaven, the more you'll reach this world. You'll have a power within you that just has to get out. And so I want to keep your attention on heaven. And one of the things you can do is just talk about heaven. What does the Bible say about heaven? What's it like? What's it look like? And in reading a lot of the prophetic scriptures, primarily Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, even a lot of the Psalms describe heaven. In the New Testament, of course, Jesus taught it, but John himself was caught up into heaven and had visions of that upper realm where God dwells, where his throne is, where he sits. And he describes the angels that are there, the prophetic proclamations that are there, but he also just describes what it looks like. He sees an emerald-colored rainbow, very, very interesting. He also talks about what he hears. What he hears and what he sees, focusing primarily today on what he hears from around the throne of God. From Revelation chapter 4, and he describes the sounds to be as lightning, thunder, and voices from the throne. Lightning, thundering, and voices from the throne. That is really interesting.
I want to help you cut down your watching of meaningless reels, degenerate videos, and candy cinema. I believe in the power of praying, fasting, Bible reading, accountability, all of those things. But you need to replace your old sins with godly, righteous routines and content. Press follow and become a loyal listener. Give a 5-star rating and write a great review. We're taking the genre of religion and spirituality to another level.
So I want to break down this idea for you to keep your mind on what is up there in heaven, where we're going to be for all eternity. And may you use this teaching to be a blessing to your prayer time, a blessing to your understanding of the Bible. And I've just learned that if you will take what others teach about the Bible, keep it in mind, it'll open up new ideas for you in the Bible that I haven't even seen yet. Maybe you'll come across an idea in the scriptures and find even more depth and insight into heaven because of what you've heard from today. And so that's what I do. I pay attention, I listen, I observe, and formulate my own ideas. That's what preaching and teaching is. It's breaking down ideas that your mind comes up with from the Word of God, the voice of the Spirit, your experiences, and all of that. Lately, I've been getting questions. It seems like in the past month, about four or five people have inquired to me on how to podcast. How do you do it? And for me, it's just simple. I just turn the microphone on and just start talking about what I know about. But it's more than that. And there is a technical side to this. And I'm not much of a sound guy. I have these templates that I saved years ago when I began. So I asked some of our guys in our production booth, how do you get a good EQ on the voice? And they said, well, with your voice, I would do this and this and this. So I put the EQ on that. Maybe put a little limiter on it. That's a good thing. That sort of equalizes it out. And then also noise gate. You need that. I've been jumping all around where I record. This evening, I'm recording in my kitchen, so you might hear a little refrigerator. You know, those refrigerators kind of have that hum to them. You might hear that. So those are good things to do. But really, podcasting, you need to enjoy hearing your head rattle. If you can do that, you can podcast. But no, in all seriousness, you have to like to talk about what you observe and what you experience. That's what podcasting is. It's narrative. It's very literary. It's very personable. It's not preaching and teaching, which probably some of you do. In youth pastoring, being a kids pastor, evangelist, pastoring, disciple making, you can't just sit there and talk about your life to somebody and hopes that they find it, you know, interesting. That's not what live audiences are really for, but this podcasting being a solidarity enjoyment, you have to talk about what you observe and what you experience. And the greatest prayer times that I've had in my life was when I just was, it felt like I was caught up into heaven just like John. And it was like, I'm right before the feet of Jesus, literally right before his feet. And ever since I started praying and keeping in my mind's eye what the throne room of God looks like, that's where prophecy started coming to me. Just things about the future and the world and the current state of the global instability that we would be in. And you know about the COVID-19 prophecy I gave that came to pass and all kinds of things. But really, the kingdom of heaven is fascinating. And I tell you, if you can go there in your prayer time, get caught up into there, and I'm gonna talk to you about it. You can have a connection to heaven like that. Your worries vanish, your anxieties disappear, your depression lifts, and you can move forward in life. John, when he got this revelation of heaven, he was old, very old, probably in his 90s, been banished from Ephesus, banished from Asia Minor. On Patmos, probably working in a sulfur mine. No church, no saints, nothing. Just him, sulfur, and a few other banished criminals. Not a good place to be. And it was in that place that the word of God was fulfilled unto him when Jesus said, there are some of you that will not taste death until you see the kingdom coming. And that's what happened to John. He saw the kingdom come, not physically, but spiritually. He witnessed the day of the Lord, and before he saw the judgments, he got to see heaven. Before he saw the wrath of God poured out, he got to see heaven. Before the beast and the great horror emerged, he got to see heaven. And so I'm a pre-trib guy. I kind of equate that. We're going to be caught up into heaven, and then the judgments will come down. You know, it's kind of like Enoch walked with God and then he was not. You know, that's the church. And then Noah has to endure the flood. That's the tribulation generation. Okay. So Abraham, you know, is there far away on a hill. That's the church. And then Lot has to endure, getting through the tribulation and losing some of his family. That's tribulation saints. Okay. That's where I'm at. If that offends you, keep on listening and I guess let this offend you some more. And then share this with 25 other of your post-tribulation friends and let them get offended too. And may they share it with 25 of their other friends. Anyway, so John hears voices in heaven. That's really what God appeared to be like in a lot of places in the Bible. For Moses, it certainly was when he is up on the mountain, getting the law of God, getting the covenant of God. What is heard? It's the sound of thundering and lightning. It made all the people back up. Just woof, they couldn't handle that storm. Well, that's just what God's presence is like when he is about to fulfill his word and when he's about to throw down on the enemy. It's thunder and lightning. Boom. It's good. And I think that's really appropriate to talk about, especially in this springtime. Man, have there been some tornadoes. They had here in Missouri, about an hour and a half south of me, kind of on the east side of Nevada. We don't say Nevada in Missouri. It's Nevada. And down there, they don't say tornadoes. They say tornadoes. There were some tornadoes that came down. And thankfully, I reached out to people that I know down there, and nobody that we share any interest with had anything damaged. I think it just hit rural areas. I don't know about it. Yeah, I don't know if it damaged anything, but I've only seen one tornado in my life, and a lady, it was headed right for our church, and a lady in our church prayed it away. It was amazing. While we were worried about clearing the rooms, getting all the kids together, whatever, there was a lady that just stopped and prayed that tornado away. It was amazing. They're loud. They look demonic. They're just it's crazy how they work. It's just insane. And they happen in various places throughout the world, but primarily here in America and pretty nearby where I am at. We just get cold air from the Rockies and warm air from the Gulf, and it just mixes together and boom, wind like you've never seen before in a way that you've never seen before. Matter of fact, the word Kansas is a Native American term, Kenza. And it means mighty wind. So, Kansas, Arkansas, those territories, those are ancient terms for mighty wind, where tornadoes come from. So anyway, I don't think John saw a tornado, but he just saw the storm of God above the throne, and that is thunderings and lightnings. So God himself can manifest like a storm around his throne. And so the psalmist, Psalm 77, said, "Your voice is like thunder, like a mighty whirlwind, lightnings lighting up upon the earth." So God sometimes manifests like this, and that's how he manifested to John. My God. So I think creation, you know, as Paul said, God's invisible attributes can be clearly seen and understood by the things that are made. So anytime you go through a lightning storm, you're getting a vision of what the throne of God looks like. My Lord. So when you're going through a storm, don't think it's demonic. Maybe it's God. Right? So, yeah. God sometimes manifests like a storm, and this is how you need to start thinking about him. If you really want to get that word going, you really want to flow in the Holy Ghost, you got to get up on that mountain. You know, I hear people sometimes say, "I'm going through a dark time. I'm going through a dark time." I'm like, well, maybe you're right in the middle of where God is. People are like, "What?" I'm like, yeah, read your Bible. Did Moses walk up the mountain into a bright, shining light, and it looked like gold and silver and lollipops growing out of the ground? No. Yeah, it wasn't Candyland. It was dark. It was thundering. It was lightning. And the presence of God will sometimes feel like that. You're feeling the sovereignty of God. You're feeling the power of God. You're feeling, as it were, the fear that you need to have of the Lord. Psalm 104, it says, "He covers himself with light as a garment to extinguish and to get out that darkness." So that thunder, that lightning, that, you know, I mean, his throne is sapphire and God is a bright light, but around his throne, yeah, it can feel like, look like a storm. And when he's coming after the devil, that's what he is doing. So there's a lot of interesting things about lightning that are here on this earth and I think have a kind of a connection to the throne of God. So they say, I've just, you know, looked this up on Google, there's about 50 to 100 lightning strikes a second worldwide. So just every second, you know, 51 to 100, boom, boom, boom. It's always hitting. It's all over the world every second. And they say it occurs mostly in Central Africa. Mostly in Central Africa. Also in the Himalayan mountains, a lot of lightning strikes up there. And in South America. Last I checked, you never know, weather can change, you know. But I guess the state that has the most lightning is Florida. Hello, Floridians. Florida always comes into usually the top five states of listenership for this podcast. So you are the lightning people. They say in the United States, lightning kills 100 people a year. And they say it can travel 50 miles across a horizontally in a cloud. Boom, 50 miles. That's how far lightning can go. Or even from cloud to cloud. It's a 50-mile deal up there in the atmosphere. 50 miles. Interesting. So what happens is storm clouds, they fill with positive and negatively charged particles. And I'm not a meteorologist, by the way. This is just Google. I'm not a scientist. I'm Justin Gleason. But you have positive and negative particles that charge together, create lightning within a cloud. And then you have these storms. This is where it gets weird, especially here in the Midwest. You'll have hot and cold winds. You ever notice that? If you're outside, if you're one of those storm watcher people, you'll feel warm air than cold air, warm air and cold air. That's how you know it's about to really get intense. What happens is those particles, that hot and cold air, they charge together, cloud to cloud, all that. It's invisible to us, but it's charging, it's going on. And as it reacts with those charges, with those warm and cold particles, that's how lightning is created. That's where the bolt comes from. So, yeah, you got it coming up from the ground, up in the sky, all of that. That's why it appears to go upwards sometimes. So when there's a bolt of lightning going upward, it's called a return stroke. Let's think about that. So you got lightnings going across clouds, and sometimes you got it coming up from the ground. Very, very neat. All that wind, all of those electric particles that are warm and cold going on, it gets intense. That's where storms come from. Lightning comes from, okay? Search it out. Dig deeper for yourself. I got to move on. It sounds to me like a lot of this is connected to the second coming of Christ. Or the rapture of the church, the catching away of the church. Jesus even said, for as lightning flashes, you know, from the east of the west, so shall it be when the Lord returns. So John has seen a lot of lightning coming from that throne. Could it be that he just witnessed the rapture? I don't know. It could have been that that's exactly what he is witnessing. So you have lightnings up there in heaven, a lot of it. Connected to probably the church being caught up into heaven. That's what John has seen. Then just also connected to the power of the Lord as he comes against his enemies. You know, there was like a thunder and lightning that would come out of that Ark of the Covenant and strike down the enemies before Israel. It's just how God works. Man, sometimes you can feel lightning in the church. You know, I've never seen lightning in church. I've seen angels kind of move like lightning, just like Ezekiel describes them. They blink and they're in different places. And just the way they move, it's almost like the shape of lightning. Very, very spectacular. I know other people have seen that. You then also have thunder that is going on like up there around the throne of God. God's voice is described to be like thunder. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, God's voice spoke. Some thought it thundered. His voice can sound like a loud thunder, especially to those who cannot hear from the Lord. It just sounds like a boom, thunder. Only the those who have a great keen insight into revelation from heaven, who are heavenly minded, can discern the voice of the Lord. This happened in Acts 22 for Paul. Those who are around him, he said, they saw a light, but did not hear a voice. Revelation 10, seven thunders thundered out, and they were mysterious. Could not write them down. Very, very interesting. God's voice sounds a lot like thunder. And so that is what John is experiencing, the voice of God booming out of that throne, declaring what is going to happen. Jesus liked the term thunder. Mark chapter 3, he named James and John Bonajeres, how they say it down in Nevada, Missouri. That is interpreted sons of thunder. And I think it's because James and John obeyed the voice of the Lord, were guided by the voice of the Lord. You don't see them really questioning God much. They just stuck with it. So around the throne, you have lightnings, thunderings, and then what do you have? Voices. John hears voices. Powerful. You know what I think is going on there? It's not angels talking. It's not God talking. Whose voices? I think it's the voices of the Church of the Living God. The prayers coming up. Praises of Almighty God. It says in Psalm 22, "You are holy, O Lord, and enthroned in the praises of your people, in the praises of Israel." Yeah. John chapter 4, it says, "The Father seeks such who will worship him." Around that throne, you know, he's got angels out in front of him, but coming out of his throne, around his throne, is not the voices of angels. It's not even music. You know what God wants to hear right close to where he sits? Your voice. So don't ever think that your voice, when you pray, it just stays there in your car. Or maybe on your lunch break when you're praying for your lunch, or even at church when you're worshiping. It doesn't just stay there. Oh no, where does it go? It travels up through the atmosphere, gets up into heaven, and God can hear it from his throne. And then where do they go? In those little vials that those elders and some of those angels have. Stores them up in vials. I'm telling you, listeners, we need to have a connection to heaven. God wants us to have a connection to heaven. So when you pray, think about an emerald rainbow around the throne. When you pray, think about a powerful storm, but not a storm that you can be harmed in or destroy you, but rather destroy your enemies, and a storm that you can hear the voice of Almighty God thunder and give you direction. And right there in the midst of it all is your voice. That's what God wants to hear. So stay heavenly connected and start doing some earthly good. Stay tuned for the second segment.
I hate to break it to you, but nobody in this room is going to get the mantle of T.W. Barnes. Nobody in this room is going to get the mantle of James Kilgore. Young ladies, none of you, I am sorry, but none of you are going to get the mantle of Nona Freeman or Vesta Mangan, because God has not positioned you close enough to those individuals to serve them.
A few years ago at our local church here in Kansas City, the Life Church, I'd love to have you visit sometime. TheLifeChurchKC.org. Check us out if you're ever through Kansas City. Just want to come down and visit. We'd love to have you. So I preached. We had a mighty move of God. I get down off of that platform and I start talking to people. You know, there's a lot of pastors, preachers out there. They preach and like you don't see them. It's like, where'd they go? I could do that sometimes. And I don't think anybody would think anything of it. But I just can't do that. I like to talk to the people. And when you come into church, I'm usually one of the first people you'll see. I'm not back in my office. I'm out there up front with a cup of coffee, eating a donut, and talking to all the good folks as they come on into the house of the Lord. And I find just in talking to people, that's where a lot of ministry happens. And you can minister a lot of good spiritual health and well-being as a leader in the church out there, in the front of your church or after the altar call, talking to people and building great relationships and great connections and hearing, you know, what's going on in people's lives. A lot of my sermon content comes from a lot of those conversations. A lot of insight in how to minister to people and growing people. And you grow people, you grow a church. It's what's been happening for the last year. Praise the Lord. And I also just enjoy getting together with friends and talking, texting, whatever. So a lot of my sermon stuff comes after church or before church. But what I'm about to talk to you now, I actually heard it from my brother, Caleb. We were, our family got together, mom fried a bunch of fish and some shrimp. It was just a great, great seafood dinner. Great taste from the ocean, great taste from the lake. Just fantastic catfish. Some of the best catfish in the world comes out of the freshwater man-made lakes in the areas of here, Kansas City. So good channel cat. I mean, it's just good, you know. So we're eating away, and Caleb goes, "Hey, Just, did you hear about this controversy with Mark Driscoll and John Lindell?" And I said, "No." He goes, "What? How have you not heard about this?" And I'm like, "Well, news is boring to me lately. It just is. I don't know. I'm just not much into it." So I looked it up, and oh my goodness, is this a big one? Mark Driscoll is preaching for a conference here in Southwest Missouri at the James River Church. John Lindell. I don't know much about that pastor. Anytime I drive through Springfield and go through that James River area, I don't care about that church. I care about something that's just one exit up, and that's called Lambert's, where they throw rolls at you, and they have fried chicken everywhere, and a fried okra. And a sweet tea. That's where, and then a Brahms from right across the street. So that feels a little more, I feel more God in that than I do over there at the James A. River. And even more so now after what I'm about to tell you. So I'm not even going to play audio for you. I'm just going to tell you what happened. You'll have to look it up. You've probably already seen or heard from it. It's everywhere. And what happened is there's this conference there. It's a men's conference, and Lindell, I don't know his name. You know, real nice guy. He's a good leader. He's got a big operation going there. He puts on this men's conference, and it's helped a lot of guys, you know, to be a good dad. A lot of good content is there, how to be a functional man. So that's a good thing. It's done some good. Well, this year was different. Instead of maybe opening up with a powerful worship song or like a powerful testimony, or John coming out there and presenting his new book or something, they open up with a man, I don't know what you call him, but I'll just tell you, he gets out there, rips his shirt off, right in front of the whole conference, rips his shirt off, shirtless. Nipples and navel right there at a Christian men's conference. And he's oily, really oily, and crams a sword down his throat and climbs up this pole and is dancing and swinging around. And I hadn't even seen what Mark Driscoll said or what anybody commented. And I go, "Whoa, does that look G-A-Y?" I'm like, "What is that? That is so weird." And then as I'm watching the clip, you know, Mark Driscoll comes on the next morning. He takes off his hat. He gets all humble and says, "Last night, we saw Jezebel. We saw an Asherah pole. The Canaanites are here." And he goes on and on and on. You can hear old John over there like, "You're out of line, Mark. You're out of line, Mark. Stop. You're out of line." Mark goes, "Okay, I receive your rebuke." Puts his hat back on, closes up his Bible, and gets off the stage. It sounded like all the guys are cheering for Mark Driscoll and booing John Lindell, the host of the conference. And he gets up there smiley and says, "Mark 18, everybody, Mark 18. You know, he should have come to me privately, not done it this way." So then the video clip ended. And I haven't really read any more about it, but it's a true story. Opening night, A guy rips off the shirt, climbs up a pole, swallows a sword, really oily, does a bunch of weird movements, and that's how they open up a Christian concert. Mark Driscoll don't like it, and he has to tell everybody exactly what he feels about it. As humbly as can be, John Lindell doesn't like that reaction, rebukes Mark, gets him off the stage, and gets up the next Sunday and preaches to his entire church. Not just to men, but also to ladies. And to the entire church about Mark, Pastor Mark's actions. How wrong it was. And so it's... You know what this is a classic case of? Mark Driscoll dropped a heater right there on the stage. A hot one, a steamy one. And everybody's having to look at it and smell it. That's what happened here. And this happens from time to time. And I guess if I could keep this on track here for this podcast and the vision of it to be a God, Bible, and church podcast, you and I have, churchgoers, you've been in situations like this where somebody just makes church so awkward, even more awkward, because of a reaction problem. Somebody says or does something you don't like, and somebody blows up in the microphone, or somebody gets in the altar and starts screaming and hollering and making a big scene because of something they don't like. That it's happened in every church. You've witnessed it at conferences, conventions, revivals, local church services, youth services. Here, there, everywhere, it just happens. People just can't contain it, and they got to speak their mind and make the situation worse. And just drop a deuce on everyone. So, coming back to Mark Driscoll, first of all, he's a Trinitarian. He pastors Trinity Church. He rips on the UPC as much as he can, rips on Oneness Theologians as much as he can, and he believes that God is three persons. So who's the real Asherah or the Canaanite worshiper here? You know, the Canaanites believe that the all of the universe began with three deities. Yeah, sun, the moon, and Saturn. And so that infiltrated into the West. The Greeks and the Romans all believed in three. It was what the Godhead was like. And so to appeal and to be relevant to the pagans, much of the Christians who became Catholics taught that God was three. And of course, they had to stick a woman in there, you know, to appease all of the people that wanted women to be just as equal as men up there in the pantheon or whatever it was. I'll stop right there. They put the women in. Then they put the saints up in there, you know. So it looks pagan. Even though they got the Bible, they talk about Jesus. It became all pagan in imagery and in language. And the devil did that. That's the devil's greatest trick. He covers up heresy with familiar language. Covers up heresy with scripture that you know. Covers up heresy with, just the wording of it. And so that's what the Trinity is. So better think twice there, Pastor Mark of the Trinity Church, about who the real Jezebel is. Hmm? All right, so back to you and I here. So in church, crazy things can happen. I've been in services where inappropriate things were said and done on the platform, especially nowadays, because culture has changed so much. And I realized this. We had some children's evangelist at our church, about 7-8 years ago. They were awesome. And one, they do the puppets, all of the clowns, and just funny stuff. And then they did this skit that I think they probably wrote back in the mid-80s, early 90s. And it's the story about this girl who falls in love with the world and starts eating the world, consuming the world. And every time she eats the world, she keeps getting more and more. For some of you that watched the interview with Brother Jason Sisko, Brother Bobby Wade, remember when Brother Sisko asked Brother Wade, you used to have more girth? We'll use that word, girth. So this character of this children's evangelist, this girl starts getting more girth because she keeps consuming the world. And, you know, she's got one, a bodysuit on. So by the end of it, she comes out and is just big as a barn. And I got to thinking, first of all, nobody's laughing. Nobody says a word. Everybody's just staring at like, how dare you? Back in 1992, we'd all been on the floor laughing. It'd have been so funny. Like every church skit back in the 80s and the 90s, you always had some girl, like 13 or 14 in the youth group, stuff a bunch of pillows under her and come out looking extremely overweight, and she'd chase her husband out of the room with a broom. And everybody'd fall out laughing, like every skit. I think that came from ABI. I think Brother S.G. Norse liked that. That was his kind of humor. A larger-than-life wife chasing her husband out of the room with a broom. And I guess they just kept on doing this skit, thought it would work, but because of culture changing, it just became inappropriate because obesity is a problem. A lot of people that deal with that have had trauma and pain in their life, and it's no longer funny. It's not funny. I couldn't laugh. All I could think about was, this used to be funny, and it's not funny anymore. Why? It's not because it's a bad skit, but everything changed, and humor has changed, and I don't know. Maybe there was a time and place when it was appropriate for a men's conference, and God would move at a guy up there with his nipples and navels out and crawling up poles and swinging around. I don't know. But nowadays, you know what? That looks a little Sodom to me. Okay? I mean, that's just weird. Yeah, why could they have opened up with like an arm wrestling competition? That'd have been cool, right? Or maybe have a comedian up there, right? That'd have been great. You know, John Crist, you know, he doesn't really have like a gospel comedy show like Mark Lowry used to have, but John Crist is funny. He came here to Kansas City, and one of his opening lines, and I know he opened up this with every city he went to on tour a few years ago, he said, "Man, I like Kansas City, y'all. Real nice up here, Chiefs. You got all that barbecue." But he said, "You take one wrong turn, you go from smelling roses to weed." I thought that was so funny. But now I can't stand marijuana. I think marijuana is a major problem in the world. It leads to so many things. It is dangerous. Probably the most dangerous drug because it appears to be harmless. But people will think it's, you know, the answer and the cure-all to all their problems and their health and whatever. I thought that was so funny. But if I got up on Sunday morning and opened up with that, ain't no move of God happening. No cleaning up from that. But it was appropriate, a John Crist deal. Okay? And at a men's conference, I know you can get away with some things, but a guy up there swinging around on a pole, so inappropriate. And, you know, non-denominational churches do this, and UPC churches do this, and I'm sure all these other organizations do this. They bring things out on the platform to make an appeal to maybe marginalized people. Maybe people that feel like they're not represented enough on the platform, you know? I remember back in the 90s, they had these, lack of a better term, I can't remember what they're called, stick teams. And they get out there in all black, white, and like white gloves and these white sticks, and they shine a black light on them. And they kick on that, "Arise, my love, arise, my love," you know, and they're swinging their sticks around. I remember at a convention one year, one girl hit another girl in the face with one of those things. It was over. It was horrible, you know, but the show had to go on. But anyway, but it was like, you know, you're sitting there watching that. You don't know what to do. Do you move your hands like the sticks? Do you just watch? You know, it's supposed to be corporate, but by the very end, you know, everybody's up on their feet clapping and feeling victorious and like they've arisen. But I realized those stick teams, you know why they were created? Yes, to, you know, send a positive message, but they were really created to let people who did not have the talent, as the Bible said, to play and sing skillfully. So they've developed another skill, and that was moving around sticks in a thematic way to praise the Lord and got them on stage. And, you know, everybody was trying to do it, and just a lot of times it just didn't work. It just didn't fly. It just wasn't appropriate in some services. And especially, you know, when you got an evangelist in, you know, you got a big rally for your section and you got people up there, and what they're doing is nice. It's great. It's not sinful. It's not harmful, but it just doesn't flow. They usually stick it right before the preaching. You know, you've just had, you know, 85 minutes of just nonstop worship and praise, you know, and everybody's choir's got to sing at the section rally. And then you get the stick team up there right at the very end before the preaching. Because I've preached rallies like that. You know, or they have a somebody do like a skit, and people forget their lines, and it goes bad. So many people forget their cues, you know, or somebody falls, God forbid, or the skit is really awkward, or really sad, or really weird, and you know, all we've seen weird things just happen on stage in church. And what do you do? Does the preacher need to get up there and say, "This is horrible"? This is a disgrace, and just rebuke him before all of everybody? No, absolutely not. Don't do that. I've done that in the past. It's not going to make you look any more powerful. You're just making it worse. And you should just move on. And I think we need to take some inventory here and observe from this, from Mark Driscoll's actions. That was a bad reaction. If it was really a problem, he should have just went home and said, "Nope, not going to do this. I'm not going to preach at the same conference as a shirtless dude swinging around on a pole with the sword and the oil and all that." No, he's got to get up there and rebuke before all, because I tell you what, as John Christ has an addiction to comedy, everything is a joke to John Christ. I mean, he could even make the assassination of JFK into a joke. He's probably got a joke for that. It's probably hilarious. I don't know how you could make that funny. It's just horrible, but he probably can. Mark Driscoll has an addiction to criticism. That guy rips on everyone. And you better believe the judgment that he has put out, it's going to be put on him. That guy rips on everyone. He's just got an addiction to it. And it's not good. Don't be that way. It's what's making it worse. And you know what? I'm not trying to put the devil where he is not, but this is a tactic of the devil. He causes someone to sin or do something inappropriate that's visible to so many, and then there's this big display of self-righteousness to follow it, and it just makes the whole situation worse, which is why I think John Liddell was right to reference Matthew 18, but he was wrong to get up and preach to his whole church about Mark. And how wrong he was. All he had to do was just get up there and say, Matthew 18, okay, we're going to continue on with this. Okay, brothers, let's have a good conference. All right, let's move on. You know, let's bring out the sumo wrestlers next. I don't know what all went on up there. But anyway, so if you're a leader, make sure what you're doing on your platform is appropriate. You know, I went on a cruise. You can get off the boat and walk around. They had a guy swallowing the fire and sticking swords down his throat and dancing around. It was pretty cool, I gotta admit. But that's what they do in the Caribbean. Do they need to be opening that up at conferences? Right? And I know we've made mistakes. I remember more than a few years ago now. 15 years ago at North American Youth Congress, they had that fashion show. It was one of those NAYCs. You could have lit up a cigarette right there and fit right in with all that was going on there. But we got past that. Thank the Lord. That was the year they scolded everyone for not feeding all the people that dressed up like bums out in the streets of the city. Right? So, anyway, and, you know, I didn't get up and react to that. I waited all these years later to even bring it up, right? Because I don't want to drop a heater on the floor. So make sure things are appropriate on your stage. But if somebody messes up, don't draw any more attention to it than it already did. You don't need to say a thing. Let the powers that be handle that. You just keep on preaching heaven. Preach the kingdom of heaven. Don't get addicted to comedy. Don't get addicted to criticism. Keep your stuff Christ-centered and watch the favor of the Lord in your life increase. But if you have to talk about it, get a podcast. This is always a safe place. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Peace be with you.